Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We are streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com on the computer, on the smartphone, TuneIn Radio app, radio.com app, however you listen. We appreciate you for making us a part of your night tonight. God, the season's not even really started yet, training camps, and I've got football coming out of my ears. I love it, though, man. I'm not complaining about it. At Dolphins practice today, covering, of course, all the comings and goings from Coral Gables as well. Was not down there in person, but studying everything happening down there at Miami Hurricanes fall camp in person at Dolphins camp in Davie was a glorious day, and I can't believe that we are a day away from semi-real football with the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night from Canton, Ohio, and also in Canton, Ohio this weekend. Jason Taylor set to get inducted first ballot into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in honor of that occasion. I mean, it's not often you get a former Miami Dolphin inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We will be covering it for you on Saturday evening. I will be in studio for that. 7 o'clock start time for our coverage and probably around 9 o'clock, who knows, 9:30 finish, but we'll have Jason Taylor's entire speech. We'll have guests. We'll have an analysis. We'll have a lot of good stuff coming out Saturday night from Canton, Ohio. Because, you know, when you've got an occasion like this, you know, you've got one of your franchise's all-time greats set for enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. Like right now, you have to assess the state of the Miami Dolphins roster and wonder who's next. Like, is the next Miami Dolphins Hall of Famer even on the roster right now? Right? I mean, obviously there's some uncertainty over the rookies and the second year guys. And then you've got a guy like Devontae Parker. Will he put together a prolific enough career to end up in the Hall of Fame? I mean, to me, really the only, I think, surefire Hall of Famer on the Miami Dolphins right now is Ndamukong Suh. And you're not sure that he actually goes in as a Dolphin when he gets inducted, right? Spent a long time with the Lions. Who knows if the Dolphins will be his final stop in the league? Would it surprise you if Ndamukong finished his career playing for another team or two before it's all said and done? I mean, so that to me seems like the guy with the highest probability on this Dolphins roster being a Hall of Famer, because for as incredible as Cam Wake is, I think he ends up falling a little bit short. You know, is Jarvis Landry a Hall of Famer? Is Jay Ajayi? It seems pretty hard these days for running backs to forge Hall of Fame careers. Is Rashad Jones going to be a Hall of Famer? A lot of question marks there. I think the only guy who's not questionable is Ndamukong Suh, and if he does go into the Hall of Fame, I doubt he, well, I say you can't assume he goes in as a Miami Dolphin. So soak up the Jason Taylor ceremony on Saturday, because you don't know who the next guy is going to be. Or does Zach Thomas get in eventually? Not a first ballot, second ballot guy, but maybe 5-10 years down the road, they find room for Zach Thomas. So I think is borderline, but as a Dolphins fanboy and as somebody who really grew up idolizing Zach Thomas, what he did overcoming the lack of, or the perceived lack of athleticism and the lack of size was remarkable and inspirational. But, you know, he's already failed to get in before. Maybe Zach Thomas ends up being the next guy. But as far as the roster goes right now, there's really no guarantee, man. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, #560 on your cell phone, or you can always text us on the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. Reach us there at 56022. You know, sometimes I bring up how thrilled I was last December when the Miami Hurricanes won the Russell Athletic Bowl, when they beat West Virginia, right? Because as a Canes fan, as a diehard, going 10 years between bowl victories, that was painful to me. That was embarrassing to me. Not having won a bowl game since December 31st of 06 on blue turf with Kirby Freeman as your quarterback that day, beating Colin Kaepernick in Nevada, to go 10 years without winning a bowl game, that was painful. Breaking news? What's going on over there?
I think I do, Alex, but please don't be upset if I'm wrong.
Oh, God.
Tim Reynolds just tweeted out a soccer ball.
Oh, so they approved
it? I don't know. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's something going on today as well. It's going to spoil the soccer segment that's coming up later, but we are awaiting this vote. MLS All-Star festivities in Chicago. Board of Governors are getting together there. And Commissioner Don Garber, MLS Commissioner, we covered this last night. He had said that, you know, they were expecting to vote today. The Board of Governors for MLS vote to approve the MLS expansion in Miami, David Beckham's expansion. And it would take you a big step closer if they really have voted in favor. That doesn't help you with the Matheson lawsuit. It doesn't help you with the resistance you're getting from Miami-Dade County. But at least if you can clear the MLS hurdle and the other owners approve the $25 million expansion fee, which they consider to be almost criminally low, like they're giving David Beckham a deal, but I'm fine with it after three-plus years of just waiting, three-plus years of suspense. If we really are about to get MLS soccer at least approved by the league to come to South Florida, I'm thrilled about it, man. I'm thrilled. I mean, as soon as they get into the MLS, if they play a crosstown rivalry with Miami FC, they'll probably get their asses kicked because Miami FC is really good in that NASL. But MLS in Miami, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Breaking news, a texter writes, unless it's not. Yeah, Manny, you've got to work on your news skills. Like, be more confident. Even if you're wrong, go out with guns blazing, right? Like, if you're gonna interject with breaking news, the last thing you want to do is say, yeah, this might be breaking news or it might be nothing. Like, you need to show some enthusiasm. Like, you need to be like Ryan Tannehill in the huddle. We'll get to that. You need to come out guns blazing and say, Dono, this is revolutionary. You love soccer. I love soccer. Tim Reynolds loves soccer. And Tim Reynolds just tweeted a soccer ball. That means soccer is coming to Miami. You need to be emphatic about it. Texter's right.
Okay.
You need to work on your breaking news skills, bro. It's all I'm saying.
Come meet me where I live, Texter.
Yeah, the Texter's going to fight you in your front yard, man. Texter's very angry about that. Dono, who do you think is going to be the Canes starting quarterback, a Texter writes? I think it's going to be Nikosi Perry. More on that in a second. But, you know, to what I was saying, sometimes I bring up how satisfied I am that, hey, the Canes beat West Virginia in the Russell Athletic Bowl. You break a 10-year drought winning bowl games. And, you know, the discerning Canes fan or the Canes haters will say, dude, are you really celebrating a Russell Athletic Bowl? Like, you're talking about a program that's won Orange Bowls and Rose Bowls. Like, you're talking about a team that's won 5 national championships, and you're excited about winning a Russell Athletic Bowl. And I get made fun of for that. I was just happy you finally won a bowl game after so long and played pretty damn well in the process. But I love this, though. You're talking about swagger returning. Now, the Miami Hurricanes defense, they had some swagger last year. They had some good numbers. 6 in the country in tackles for a loss. And for about 2/3 of the season, they were number 1 in tackles for a loss. They were terrorizing opposing quarterbacks and running backs. Like, they were breaking up plays in the backfield. It was awesome. 26th in total defense, 14th in scoring defense. Miami Hurricanes defense last year had reason to brag, had reason to have a little bit of swagger, right? I mean, the team was good, not great. The defense was great last year, right? The offense held them back in most of their losses. The offensive line mainly held them back in most of their losses when they went on that dreadful 4-game losing streak. But you want to talk about swagger. Second-year linebacker Shaq Quarterman, he's got a little bit of that, right? Because we talk about how the Canes fan is not really going to consider the U to be back until Miami is winning rings, winning championships. Now, I said yesterday, and I believe it, to me, I will say that U is back when you are an ACC champion and you're in that title picture for the college football playoff. If you're a national contender, you're truly knocking on the door of being a champion, I will consider you back. A lot of other fans say, no, you got to win that ring before you're back. Shaq Quarterman apparently agrees with you guys. Here's what he had to say today.
Because we haven't really accomplished anything. We want a ring, you know. As long as we don't have that, then we haven't really done that. We won the Russell Athletic Bowl. You know, we're trying to go to something way bigger than that.
Man, I love that. Russell Athletic Bowl. We're trying to go to something way bigger than that, says Shaq Quarterman. Man, that dude, he really does practice what he preaches, though, because he goes out there and he plays his ass off. And you're talking about a young man. I won't call him a kid because he's initiated now. Baptized by fire last year. Going into last season, call him a kid. He was an 18-year-old freshman, just had his prom a few months before. Say what you want to say. He's no longer a kid. He is a grown man. Full year of starting reps at linebacker under his belt. Same can be said for his good friends that he plays with in Michael Pinckney and Zach McLeod. All three of them starting linebackers at 18 years old, freshmen last year. All of them return for a sophomore season where they're now officially veterans. But my God, do you love to hear that from Shaq Quarterman? We haven't accomplished anything until we win a ring. Russell Athletic Bowl, we want to go to something way bigger than that. Man, it's not what the Russell Athletic Bowl selection committee wants to hear, right? With that quote being out there, Russell Athletic Bowl, we can do way better than that. Is that going to be their slogan this year? When you drive by Camping World Stadium, they're going to have that giant billboard advertising the Russell Athletic Bowl. Russell Athletic Bowl, you can do way better than us. That's going to be their slogan this coming year. But I love to hear that from Quarterman. You know, a lot of times you hear these college players, they really hold back, right? Because they don't want their words to end up quotes on every sports blog. That just happened to Shaq Quarterman, but I'm fine with it, man. I'm fine hearing these guys speak their minds. And it's not like he was intentionally disparaging anybody, right? It's not like he came out and said, Russell Athletic Bowl, that was embarrassing. No, he said, Russell Athletic Bowl, we want to go to something way bigger than that. He's talking national championship. He's talking New Year's Six Bowls. He's talking college football playoff. I have no problem with my starting linebacker wanting to seek bigger things than Russell Athletic Bowl. Texter writes in, I'm pumped for the season and the ones to come. And guys like Shaq Quarterman and defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, who spoke today, those are the type of people who get you pumped. What's going on over there, Chang?
No, I'm getting killed on Twitter, and I'm getting messages of my friends telling me, bro, next time you break news, you got to make sure you stand by it, even if you're wrong. I'm like, dude, you know how many times I've broke news on the Alex Donald Show?
I mean,
not once anybody has complained. Not once has anyone ever criticized me. And all of a sudden, because it involves soccer, come on, guys.
That's not the problem. The problem was how wishy-washy Manny was. Like, you can't.
I didn't want to interrupt your beautiful intro.
Well, you did anyway. And if you're going to interrupt it, you've got to say, I've got some breaking news. This is amazing. Like, you can't come on and say, I've got breaking news. Or maybe it's not breaking news. I don't know. We'll let the callers decide.
I'm going to go Game of Thrones on you during the break.
Oh, God. He's going to cut my head off and put it on a spike. Let's go to the phones. 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Don is in Miami. What's up, Don?
Hey. I was going to give you my Pharrell voice, but I'll just be Don. Let me ask you, what changed with you that put him back in the hunt, you think?
Wait, say what changed of what?
What changed with you that's put him back in the hunt?
Oh, well, I mean, listen, a lot of experience for the defense. They return 13 guys from that defense with 122 starts between them. So the fact that they don't have to learn a new defense because there's so many returning veterans, and just the second year under Mark Richt and the culture. And then you've got a guy like Mark Walton, who's going to be a year older and more experienced. Amon Richards, a year older and more experienced. I understand that they got to figure out who the quarterback is before you can really decide how far this team is going to go. But I definitely see potential for this team to be a lot better than they were last year.
But wouldn't you say the change started before last year?
You know, I don't know about that. Because, yeah, okay. On the way out.
Just go with me on that.
Oh, okay, all right. I'll go with you. I'll let you finish your point.
What was the big difference before that?
Oh, and, well, you know, okay. I know what it is. It was the resignation or the retirement of Donna Shalala. And okay, so we're thinking on the same wavelength.
She might have been a great president, but she didn't give a hoot about the football team.
Yeah.
And that's the change, and that's what's going to get us back in the hunt. I got another quick question if you got a second.
Sure.
I hear all the time they're always trying to change the rules, this, that, the other thing. They want to do things to make games shorter. I don't care what sport it is. They always want to make the games shorter. When I pay for a movie ticket, do I want to watch an hour movie or a two-hour movie? So why do I want a shorter game? I want more entertainment for my daughter.
Well,
right?
Because you walk a fine line between too many lapses in the action. Like, I can completely understand why over the last few years Major League Baseball has tried to make their game shorter because there were a lot of lulls there, right? The NFL, I think the NFL has tried to make their game shorter to fit into tighter TV windows. I think it has more to do with that than it does the entertainment factor. College football is like the one sport that really hasn't tried a whole lot to make the game shorter, because big time college football games go like 4 hours. But I've got zero problem with that. Like, I'm okay with baseball games getting shorter, but college football, keep it as long as you want to, man. I enjoy those games.
Yeah, nobody's going home. They're staying there till the end, good or bad, usually.
Yeah.
Here's a rule they can fix in the NFL. One more real quick thing. You know, at the end of a game, when you got the kneel down going on for three or four plays, everybody's like, oh, you hate that. You know, you just hate it. I think any time you don't have a positive yardage play, the clock should stop.
Hmm. Ooh, that's interesting. Well, and even, like, you could just make an exception where the clock stops when you're kneeling down. Because if you're trying to run the football and you lose
same
2 yards.
Same difference.
Okay.
Let's get that out of the game, you know. Make the team play for the win.
Well, you're thinking like a mad scientist, and I like it. It was why I was a big fan of Greg Schiano when he was coaching the Bucks. You know, not to say he's a great coach, but when he used to blow up the victory formation, like he would have his defensive line try to murder the opposing quarterback when they were taking a knee, and he disrupted the establishment. Right, the establishment would say, "Oh, well, that play is part of football. It's unsportsmanlike to try and blow up the victory formation." Dude, I say this. The game is still in progress, right? There's still time on the clock. Okay, we may have come to this weird, bizarre gentleman's agreement that you don't blow up the victory formation, but if that's not a rule that's set in stone, God bless Greg Schiano for trying to blow it up. I had no problem with that whatsoever. I enjoyed it. It was a nice change of pace seeing him do that. Oh, man, we'll take more Canes and Dolphins calls on the other side. Are we going to freak out about Jay Ajayi? We don't have much information on Ajayi's concussion. We know he has a concussion, and we know he's in the concussion protocol. We don't know where he is in the protocol, how long he's going to be out. We don't have a lot of information, which means you can't jump to too many conclusions. But not being able to jump to conclusions scares you a little bit, right? Because fans have a tendency, especially when it's a great player, especially when it's a crucial, important player, star running back like Jay Ajayi. You hear this guy's got a concussion, a lot of you assume the worst. A lot of you assume, oh, this is going to keep him out for several weeks, if not months. Is this a sign of things to come? We don't have a lot of info, but that's one of the reasons why people get so concerned and upset about this.
Well, Alex, I just want to point out that there's also fans around the league, like the Colts. Andrew Luck is not throwing. He has an injured shoulder, which he just had surgery on.
Right.
Same thing with Cam Newton in Carolina. And now Will Fuller, the star wide receiver for the Texans, he got hurt today. He might be out for the year.
Yeah.
So, Dolphin fans, you're not the only fan base that goes through injuries. Listen, it's part of the game. It's preseason. It's training camp.
Yeah.
You know, get over it. It is what it is. Don't freak out because, listen, as long as there's no IR next to his name right now,
yeah,
you shouldn't be worried.
And here's the ironic thing about the Ajayi injury. It goes to show you what a freak thing it was. I know the Dolphins on Monday, when he got hurt, they were running a full contact practice. But Adam Gase revealed to us today that that specific play was not a full contact play. It was not that part of practice. Ajayi just happened to not see TJ McDonald, and they collided. So it was kind of ironic the way that that went down. If you'd like to get in, we'll take calls on the other side, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. I want to talk, my friends, about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The food is so delicious, and there's TVs covering every wall. They've always got the game on. Oh, this is that meaty part of the year. Football season about to start. College and pro. Fantasy football. Big fights coming up on pay-per-view. McGregor versus Mayweather coming up in less than a month. 24 days away, August 26th. They will have that event at three Quarterdeck locations. Fort Lauderdale, Plantation, and Davie. Watch Mayweather versus McGregor. It's going to be glorious. And at the Quarterdeck restaurant, they have every UFC pay-per-view fight for zero cover charge. You pay nothing at the door while you're watching on the high-def flat-screen TVs. And while you're enjoying the great drinks, great cocktails at the Quarterdeck. You know, I'm a big margarita guy, big Long Island iced tea guy. They got 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. It never ends at the Quarterdeck. The 2-for-1 happy hour is a special that never changes. And they don't water down the drinks there, which is great. Food is delicious at the Quarterdeck restaurants. Whether you're enjoying the meat falls off the bone baby back ribs, the fresh seafood like the oysters, Maine lobster, sushi, they have it at the Quarterdeck, and it's very, very good. The soup is awesome at the Quarterdeck, like the clam chowder. But whatever you do, you make sure you save room for dessert, because the key lime cheesecake is the perfect way to finish every meal. Whether it's a great game or just a great time with family, you can enjoy that at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. You want to find your location by visiting quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
Football Station, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Everybody outside, everybody outside, wanna pull up outside all night though. Everybody high five, everybody wanna smile, everybody wanna lie, that's nice, no.
Yeah, it's, a lot of hearsay is indicating that the MLS to Miami has been approved by the league. I'm waiting for some final reports on this. I don't wanna jump the gun, but we're trending in that direction, my friend. You know, the MLS owners, they heard a pitch today from David Beckham. That meeting was ongoing in Chicago. League decision on the Miami expansion team would come, and it's looking like it has come in Miami's favor. But until I see it finalized from Tim Reynolds and or Michelle Kaufman, we'll hold off on the final celebration. But it looks like Major League Soccer is coming to Miami, courtesy of David Beckham and the Beckham Group. Hurricanes football is on the way, my friends. Day two of practice today. Let's go out to the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. And you know it's football season when I see Laz in Cutler Ridge on hold. What's up, Laz?
What's up, Elbo? Welcome back, my buddy.
Thanks, man. Happy to be back and just in time for football.
Did you get your fill of sushi?
I did. You know, if it were up to me, I would have probably had sushi two or three more times, but I had it like six times, and I think that was good enough, and it was great over there.
Now, you've eaten a lot of sushi down in, you know, in the States, and I know you eat sushi.
Yeah.
Quarterdeck has good sushi.
Yeah.
All right. Big difference?
Yeah. Well
sushi
here's
here, sushi Japan?
Here's the thing. If you go to like super expensive sushi spots here, you can get stuff that's pretty close, but Laz, the crazy thing about Japan is, not only is the sushi really cheap, like you can get good sushi, like a whole meal, and I can eat quite a bit of sushi, like a whole meal for like $15 or under $15. Where if you were to get the same stuff over here, you're paying like $40-$50. Like the price difference is crazy.
Wow, that's amazing, man. That's you know, that's one trip I would definitely want to make. I was just telling telling Maureen this morning, you know, talking about places you'd like to visit. And that trip to Japan, that definitely interests me.
Yeah, and I got to give my wife credit and the assist on that, because she was insistent, man. Like I never would have really thought. It's like nothing against it, but it's such a long trip and such a long flight. I never would have thought I'd ever go to Japan, but she's been wanting to go there for her entire life, and so she really started insisting on it like 2-3 years back, and we finally made it happen, and it was worth it.
On the sushi end alone, I just hope that lunatic in North Korea doesn't blow it up before I get there.
God, I know. And then like 2 days after, like a day or two after I left there, I saw he was like launching missiles like into the sea next to Japan. So I got the hell out of there right in time.
I don't blame you, buddy. I don't blame you. Hey, man, it's that time of the season. And I heard you when I first of all, I want to say that Manny could very well have really broken good news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But he wasn't confident enough in it.
I don't know what's wrong with him. He's got to have a better delivery. I mean, he's got the good stuff. He just doesn't know how to deliver it.
Well, yes, I
agree.
He can
work on that later.
Damn, Laz. We actually spoke for about 5 minutes before you came on. Not once did you mention this to me, and then you bashed me on the air?
I'm not bashing you. I'm defending you that you very possibly could have legitimate breaking news. I'm defending you, but then again, you know, he's got a good point. It wasn't exactly strong delivery, you know?
Yeah, the way he set it up was, I have breaking news, but maybe it's not breaking news. Like, you got to come out a little stronger than that.
Anytime you hear that, you start to doubt.
I mean, yeah.
That's just me. Hey, I was listening to what you were saying about the young linebacker, man, and he's absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with winning the Russell Athletic Bowl, especially after 10 years of winning no bowl. You know, of being the rag everybody steps on, you know, at the end of the season. So it was great. But by no means should that be, you know, that's it. We made it. We won a bowl game. The standard here, and I'm going to disagree with you, is not just making the big game. The standard here is winning the big game. Let's not loosen it and let's not lower it. You can't say we're back until somebody's holding up that crystal ball somewhere and there's confetti and there's a parade. A parade is back. Okay?
I like it.
You know, making the big game is great, and believe you me, the next team that wins a national championship in Miami will be as revered and as loved as the first one that won it.
Yeah. No, it'd be very similar. It's not like, okay, you know, the program maybe never got quite as bad as it was like in the 70s before Schnellenberger came in, but after being out of the national championship hunt for this long, whoever the next team is to win it, it's like they're rebuilding it the way that Howard did. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Well, I tell you what, man, after soaring so high and after being, you know, after fielding the greatest team in the history of college football to fall so low, you know, that last game in the Orange Bowl,
oof,
you know, I think broke a lot of people's backs that were on the fence.
Yeah.
You know, fan-wise, and then to have to suffer through miserable coaching hires and get expectations and always getting let down, I submit to you this is probably worse than what happened in the mid-70s, because you're not going to really miss what you never knew.
That's true, and that was like when they used to give away, like, free tickets at Burger King. Like there was no standard for Miami football back then. Like, you had a few great players who had come through, but not great teams. So you're right, we didn't know what we had back then.
Listen, I'm gonna date myself here. I remember tickets on the counter at the Burger King on 37th Avenue and 7th Street.
Wow.
By the old Flagler Dog Track, which is whatever, Magic City Casino now. And I remember on the counter, and you know, go up there, you didn't even have to buy none, just grab one and go.
Wow.
And you know, we lived across from the stadium, and you know, we'd walk through the turnstile, and you know, half the time it'd be some neighborhood lady working you know, the gate or a cousin or an aunt, and, you know, we just walk in there, and there'd be nobody in there most of the time,
man,
until they
crazy.
Started winning. You know, so, hey, listen, man, I'm enjoying the ride. And to answer, you know, the previous caller's question, you know, about what's the biggest difference, you know, you got to hang it on the coaching. If you're going to talk about the caliber of player, the only reason they're coming here is because of the coaching.
Oh, sure. I mean, what he was saying was that, you know, you wouldn't even have the coaching if not for Dr. Julio Frank. I think that was his point, because I came right out of the gates like you did saying, well, the coaching is creating this culture. But he said you wouldn't have this coaching if not for the Shalala retirement and then Julio Frank taking over.
He wanted to take a shot at Shalala, and that's great. I'm not into taking shots, and I certainly don't want to reminisce about the last 10 years of misery. So I'm going to go ahead and look forward, you know, and hopefully build on the fact that they won a bowl game and that this year they're set up with probably, except with the question at quarterback,
yeah,
probably the most talented, you know, team we've had in 10 years. So I'm going to focus on that and enjoy the ride in over 10 years, really, because the last time we ever played good football, especially on defense, was 2005.
Yep.
You know? And so I'm going to enjoy the ride. I'm not going to take.
Yeah, 2005. Wasn't that the year that we just wrecked Marcus Vick when we went to Virginia Tech? I think that was like the last year of borderline dominant football.
I loved it so much that I framed it. It's in my man cave, and it's on a wall. And the headline in the Herald was "Victimized."
Oh, that's perfect.
Canes forced 6 Marcus Vick fumbles.
That's so great.
He couldn't, every time that they snapped the ball and he looked up, somebody was on top of him.
Like, that may have ruined him for football, because what did he ever do after that, right? He had no pro career, had no high-profile college wins after that. Like, the Canes destroyed Marcus Vick.
Let me tell you something, man. That year, we made it all the way. I'm probably wrong, and some humanoid is going to call in and say I'm a jerk because I got it wrong. I think we made it up to about 5 or 3 in the rankings. And, you know, that was really – it fell apart at the end. And I think that was the last year we won a bowl game. I think that was the – no, when was the last time we won a bowl game? It was Nevada.
Yeah, it was Nevada at 06. Javaris James,
06.
Kirby Freeman, a quarterback, Larry Coker's final game. That was the one.
Yeah, we should have been in the national championship game in that, you know, in 05. We should have been in the hunt. We should have been in something. But I think we lost the last 3 games of the season or some misery like that. You know, and even you know, going into that 2006 year – you know, you kind of felt the program just losing, you know, losing steam. And now it's totally the opposite. All you hear is good stuff. Recruiting, on the field, in practice, all that good stuff, man. Bring it on. And, you know, and I'm going to put it out there. Start the freshman. The future's now. Get them snaps.
I'm with you.
It might not be this year, but get them ready for next year, because next year I expect big things. Go Canes, baby.
Go Canes. Great stuff, man. I always love when the season is about to be upon us and you hear from Laz and Cutler Ridge. I am hoping and expecting that Nikosi Perry wins the starting quarterback job, but I'll temper the expectations a bit just by saying that if he doesn't win the job, throw 100% of your support. If you're a Canes fan, like if you're an FSU fan, whatever, laugh at us, do what you want to. But if you're a Canes fan and the job goes to Malik Rozier or Evan Sheriffs, understand that if Mark Richt is making that choice, he feels that's what's best for your football team and you should roll with it. And I'm sure Laz agrees with that, right? We're both hoping that Perry is the guy. But if Mark Richt decides that Perry is far enough behind one of those older guys, more experienced guys, I mean, the one with the only kind of semi-real experience is Malik Rozier because he did start a game and beat Duke a couple of years ago. If Mark Richt decides that one of those two elder statesmen are more deserving than Nikosi Perry, you have to trust that he's doing the best thing for the team and that maybe next year will be Perry's year. I'm still holding out hope and expectation that Perry wins the job, but if he doesn't, I put my support 1,000% behind Mark Richt. Let's talk to Julio here on WQAM. What's up, Julio?
What's going on? Hey, just want to piggyback on Tim Reynolds' emoji tweet. I'm very excited about what's going to happen soon here in Miami. You know, we're going to have soccer. We're going to have MLS soccer soon.
Yeah.
You know, I know we had the Clásico here, but I think it's a beginning of something big here.
Yeah, okay, like Julio, I'm always curious about this because, you know, Stephen Ross, who, you know, he's the one who brings so many of these marquee games like El Clásico to Miami, and he's very skeptical as to whether an MLS franchise could work, right? A regular team that may not have worldwide superstars and people have to buy season tickets for. So I'm guessing that you are one of the hardcore soccer fans that you would support an MLS team.
Just look what's happening in the South. I mean, look at Atlanta. I mean, they're drawing, I think, close to 30,000 or 25, between 25,000
and 30,000. That's good to hear because Atlanta is actually known as being a worse sports town than Miami because people rip on Miami and they rip on Atlanta even worse.
And look at Orlando FC as well. I mean, that's another team that I was going to point to. You know, I know they have Kaká and they have some guys. I know Kaká is up in age already, but I think Beckham can put together a nice product.
Well, and you know what? Maybe if Beckham brings the team here, like a year from now, we can bid like 260 million euros to bring Neymar to Miami after the money he just went for. Bid big, man. Bid big.
Yeah. So anyways, happy about that, man, and big things coming to Miami. I like that.
Yeah, and listen, I hope there's a lot more Julios out there. Because I don't want to be – well, and Manny's. I'm sorry, Manny. I'm sorry. Will you get season tickets to the MLS
team? It's unbelievable how my one update screw-up forgets who's on the other side of the glass.
You're dead to me. You're like Ned Stark. You're dead to me.
You know, the Game of Thrones is not won by a sword.
The Game of Thrones is won by – I don't know what it's won by because it's not won yet. We'll see.
I actually made that up.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, like, quoting the show. I have no idea what wins the Game of Thrones because nobody's won the throne yet. Damn it. 560-22 on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Texture writes in, I hate playing the what-if game, but what if Brad Kaya was still a Cane going into this season? Could Miami be legitimately a contender for a playoff spot for the national title with this talented team? I think the answer to that is yes. And it's not to say that Brad Kaya didn't have his limitations. Statue in the pocket, couldn't move around a whole lot, but he had maturity. He had an in-depth knowledge of the offense and an incredible acumen for learning things. Good arm, good instincts, and chemistry with his teammates. So, yeah, I think that Miami on paper would be considerably better off if Brad Kaya came back. But, you know, I know that Mark Richt really wanted to start turning the page on the next chapter. And that may be why he didn't fight as much as he could have to keep Brad Kaya here. It's also not really in Richt's nature, right? There are some coaches out there that when they find out they've got a junior who's thinking of going pro, they get on their knees and they beg. Right? They try to guilt trip you to stay around. Think of what we can do next year if you come back. That's not really who Mark Richt is. He's got a player thinking about leaving early. You know, he'll make his case, but he wants that player to make his own decision. He's not going to try and pressure you to come back. But, you know, some have speculated that, hey, maybe the reason why Richt didn't fight for Kaya so hard publicly was because he was ready to turn the page and really start fresh with his own guy. Because it's not like Rick recruited Kaya. That's not his handpicked quarterback. And a lot of the hints that Mark Rick dropped during last season were he would prefer a dual threat element to his offense. And that's what Nikosi Perry can bring. And it's something Malik Rozier can also do, right? Not to disparage him. Malik Rozier is also a mobile player, so he can add some of that element. I just think Nikosi Perry can do it in much more dynamic fashion. Texter writes in, very random question. Dono, are you a fan of the board game Risk? I'm not, because when I was growing up, family game night, we would play Risk a lot, and my father is like a dictator in that game. He's so good at Risk. He's like the Tywin Lannister of Risk. I never won a game of Risk my entire childhood because my dad would take over the entire world in a matter of minutes. And then he would just slowly bludgeon you, right? Like he would have armies in every country. I would be stuck with just the Ukraine. The Ukraine is weak. I would be stuck with only the Ukraine, surrounded by my father's armies. I never came close to winning a game of Risk growing up. I hated Risk because I always lost. I also hated Monopoly. That was another one. You would pray, you would hope and pray, oh, I'm going to land on Boardwalk and Park Place, and I'm going to charge this crazy rent. That would be all I would have. I would just have Boardwalk, Park Place. My father would have everything else. He might be the Michael Jordan of board games, my father. I never beat him in a single board game my entire life. That's why I hate every board game, because my dad ran that S. You know what? 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You're on crack. Texter writes in, Kaya equals national championship contenders. Wow. Well, okay. Should I fully commit to that?
You should, Alex, because this team is going to be way more improved than they were 2 years ago.
And if they had Kaya in the mix, oh, I think I'm going to stick with that. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next. Possibly been over. Look back and watch me smack that all on the floor. Smack that. At 7 o'clock, we'll hear from Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase and Miami Dolphins franchise quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Oh, you see what I did there? Just wanted to piss people off. Miami Dolphins starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill. We'll hear from both of them at 7 o'clock. Rashad Jones today was back, activated off the non-football injury list. No restrictions, which I thought was cool. Because he hasn't worked football-related activities on a consistent basis since last October. Week 6 last year against the Steelers is when he suffered that torn rotator cuff. And then prior to training camp, week and a half ago, he injured his calf while working out with a trainer and missed the first 5 practices. So I did think it was impressive for somebody who's played very little football for the past 10 months, was able to go out today and not miss a single drill. And Rashad Jones looked good today. You know, not full contact and tackling like we had a couple of days ago. Very, very light contact, if any, today. But he did have a nice stuff on Damien Williams running play. Really disrupted, got in the backfield and stuffed him for a loss. Had some good plays in coverage today as well. Rashad Jones looked very good, which should make you happy. That's the good news for the Dolphins today. The bad news, as expected, no Jay Ajayi in practice, and he's going to miss the next few to several practices. We don't have a lot of information. All we know is confirmed he is in the concussion protocol. Adam Gase confirmed that today. So he does have a concussion. Now, we don't know if it's serious or minor, but he does have a concussion. So you hope it's a short-term thing, because that the short-term thing you can live with. Right, because Jay Ajayi doesn't need as much training camp work as, you know, the young guys on the roster who are trying to scratch and claw their way into making the team. And if he's absent for a short time, that's going to give Kenyon Drake and Damien Williams a chance to get some more work. So if he misses 3 to 6 days, you can live with that. But if it starts bleeding deep into the preseason, that's when you start to get concerned for Ajayi. I saw something today at Dolphins training camp that it troubled me, to say the least. Now, first, let me tell you that the fan support was unbelievable, right? The stands in the viewing area for fans were virtually full today. A lot of folks came out, either took the morning off of work or, you know, were able to take their kids out there today. Kids are out of school. unbelievable fan turnout at Dolphins training camp today on a weekday. I was impressed by it, but I saw something that a fan was wearing that really shocked me. So let me get a ruling on this. You know that I'm very picky about grown men wearing jerseys, right? That it's okay. It's okay to wear a Dolphins jersey to a Dolphins game or a Dolphins practice. Like, that part was fine. But I saw something today that I don't think I've ever seen a grown man try and pull off. So I see this fan walking through the concourse to his seat at training camp, and I notice he's wearing a white number 13 throwback style Dolphins jersey. So I'm thinking, oh, great. Here's a fan supporting Dan Marino, or maybe Jake Scott, as a couple people have pointed out to me on Twitter, that he wore the number 13 long before Dan Marino did. But of course, Marino, that's the guy synonymous with number 13 in the minds of football fans when it comes to Miami Dolphin jerseys, Dan Marino. So I'm thinking, okay, here's a fan giving some love to Dan Marino. Then I see the back of his jersey, and he had his own last name. This is like a 40-year-old man wearing a number 13 Miami Dolphins jersey with his own last name instead of Dan Marino's name. Like, I couldn't believe it. And I can't remember what the last name was. It was something that started with an M. So that even made me think, oh, it's the Dan Marino jersey. But no, the name on the back might have been Montague. It might have been Martinez. It was something with an M, but it wasn't Marino. Somebody was wearing his own last name customized onto what should have been a Dan Marino or a Jake Scott jersey. And I thought, this cannot fly. This is not okay. This is not okay. In my strong opinion, you should not be wearing a jersey customized with your own last name if you're over the age of 10. You shouldn't be doing that. Because, okay, when I was 9 years old, I had an Inter Milan jersey with my own name on the back of it. Then by the time I turned 10, I said, I'm done with this. I can graduate to actual players at that point. Right? Like, it's okay. They're already... only a few situations when a grown man can wear any jersey to a sporting event, to a watch party, to a sports bar. You don't wear it when you're out at quarterdeck with your family, or when you're out at a nice meal. You wear it to a game, to a sporting event. But for a grown man to wear a jersey with their own last name customized, that is never okay in any walk of life. If it's your 9-year-old kid, have at. 40-year-old man wearing the number 13 Montague jersey, that's not okay in any walk of life. I think Chang is getting angry because he's a big jersey guy. Let me take a call here. Let's talk to Sid. You're on WQAM. What's up, Sid?
Hey, how you doing? I like your program.
Thank you, sir.
And also I want to tell you that I am a diehard football fan, Dolphin, University of Miami. But I want to make a quick statement in reference to soccer. I believe that soccer does not stand a chance anywhere. I know there's a small percentage of people who like soccer
anywhere,
you know, and they're going to stand out more than the people who don't like it. Me personally, I can't stand soccer, and I think a lot of other people can't stand it either.
Well, okay, but does that mean the rest of us can't enjoy it? Like, just because your friends don't like it?
I remember what I said. I said there is a small percentage of people who do like soccer. Absolutely. But I'm not saying they should not enjoy it. I'm not saying that, sir. But what I'm saying is I don't believe it stands a chance, because I think it's a boring doggone game.
All right, well, we'll tell that to 98% of the world's population. I understand it's not for everybody, right? What was that, an ambush? And listen, he may not be wrong about MLS succeeding or not succeeding in Miami, because it's tough to sell out games if you're not winning and if you're not signing good international players. But you can't say soccer can't work anywhere. Just because you don't like the game doesn't mean people don't like it.
Alex, and I just want to bring this in. I think Sid is talking for the American side, but if you go to Europe, South America,
I don't think he was talking about the Europeans. The Europeans love it.
Yes, that to them is gold. You go to South America, soccer is their football. Soccer is what they live for. the poorest countries in South America, sure, they might not have money to eat, but they know when their club is playing, they somehow, some way, they'll be there. They'll be right in front of that stadium cheering them until they, you know, until the game is done. So, Sid, I get your point, but you can't speak for everybody in the whole world. I mean,
especially since, like, you see MLS teams, not all of them, but you see plenty of them thriving, like the Seattle Sounders. Like, don't tell somebody in Seattle. And by the way, where they live, it is sunny outside like 3 days a year. I personally don't mind it, right? I know that everyone talks about the Florida sunshine. Florida sunshine, for a pale guy like me, very high risk of skin cancer. I belong in Seattle. But in Seattle, not a whole lot of vitamin D over there. There's no sunshine, but they love their soccer. I mean, the Seattle Sounders, they play at Quest Field. They play where the Seahawks play. And they do well there. Now, I don't think they open the upper deck unless it's a playoff game, but they sell out the lower bowl. They sell a ton of tickets for those games. Portland Timbers, they love them. The Atlanta team is doing pretty well. That's an awful sports town. So you can't say it's not going to work anywhere, man. I can get into watching the World Cup or something like El Clasico, a texter writes, but MLS soccer is hard to watch. Yeah, like, you know, sometimes the marketing missions for these MLS teams are to get, like, aging European players, like when Beckham played at the LA Galaxy and Kaká in Orlando. Try to find some of these, like, young, diamond-in-the-rough European players.
Again, Alex, it's just like I told you last night. This league is owned by the league itself. The owners can't just go ahead and sign anybody they want. They need approval and a stamp of approval by Don Garber and his people. I'm telling you, the MLS needs to try to think about just being a little bit more open and just letting these owners that own these clubs, make them go to Europe and get these guys that are exciting to watch. Make them be the ones to, hey, there's young fans watching Gold TV, Bein Sports. They're watching players across the pond. Let me get those two or three guys that are very young that play in the lower leagues that are getting them excited. I bring them into my team, into their hometown. They're going to want to come to every single game.
By the way, I thought I would get a lot more support on my jersey rant, but most people are ripping me. We'll read some texts. We'll take some calls. 7 o'clock hour coming up here on WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.